Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to Get Over It, the Intuitive Transformation Podcast for exceptional 21st century living. We've got a show tonight that is going to help you change your mind and open your mind and heal yourself, okay? Questions for you, though. Do you suffer from chronic or physical or emotional conditions? And let's face it, folks, who doesn't? And do you ever feel stuck about the reoccurring patterns in your life, like you keep attracting that same love relationship that's not healthy for you at all? Well, the show tonight is going to provide you with some information that can help you. And then when you go out and get this book, Mind Detox by Sandy Newbigging, you will be able to help yourself and stop all of that stuff that's been holding you back. So sit back, relax, get pen and paper, take some notes, and let's move forward as we can detox your mind. Now, the information shared on Get Over It uses intuitive and pragmatic insight to help you break through the blocks and release energy that is no longer needed. Yes, we're going to help you release your BS that is holding you back. But you know, I always ask that question, are you truly ready to? And by the way, folks, BS is a belief system. Now, a bit about me for my new listeners, intuitive since birth. I'm a third-generation intuitive with over 3 decades of experience helping people break through the blocks along their path. I'm a strategist for personal and professional transformation, revealing information which enables you to become a master builder of your life. I spent 25 successful years in corporate America as an executive sales professional, and I'm the founder of Healing Visions Ministries and the Northern California Children's Education Network, a 501c3 nonprofit. I authored Getting Your M&Ms, the Men and Money book, and Masterful Choices, the Key to Easy, Effective Change. Now, I provide consultations and healings regarding relationships, business, career, money, and love that heal the mind-body-spirit connection, allowing you to live your life to the absolute fullest. My clients tell me that I keep it real while providing them with accurate information to assist them along their journey as a spirit living a human existence. But they also say, if you really don't want to know, don't ask Monique. My background includes a doctorate in metaphysics, Reiki master teacher, ordained minister, and clinical hypnotherapist. So whether you are stressed, depressed, or possessed, I can help. To find out more about me and the services I offer, go to my website, MoniqueChapman.com. I invite you to like me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter and LinkedIn. You can also sign up for my opt-in newsletter, Intuitive Living. And again, that's from my website, MoniqueChapman.com. My guest today is Sandy C. Newbigging, and he is a coaching and meditation expert, author, and the creator of Calmology. He's written 12 books. Among them are Mind Calm, Body Calm, Calm Cure, and Think. Shaped by thousands of hours of clinical practice, his remarkable work has been featured on television stations around the world. He's the founder of Calm Academy, and Sandy facilitates retreats and trainings basically anywhere around the world, but he does a lot in the UK and a lot in Spain. Now, he lives between the UK and Spain, and he travels widely. And you can check him out at his website, and that's sandynewbigging.com, SandyNewbigging.com. And the book that we're talking about today is Mind Detox, Discover and Resolve the Root Causes of Chronic Conditions and Persistent Problems. Welcome, Sandy.
Wow, thank you for that. Welcome. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you. You know, when I your book came across my desk for review, I was like, wow, people really need this, especially early in the year where we're still kind of in that mode of resolutions and making positive changes, and we haven't let the weight of the year, you know, completely drown us yet. Not that we ever have to, but sometimes that does happen. So Mind Detox, in your book and on your website, you talk about you accidentally created this method. Tell us about that.
Well, it's a funny story, actually. I was already working as a kind of a coach and therapist, and I was invited out to southern Spain to attend a detox retreat to actually help the detoxers let go of their mental toxicity as they were doing a physical cleanse, okay? And so I remember rocking up to that retreat expecting a week in the sunshine, and it rained the whole time. But I found myself in very unfamiliar territory because the people wanting to work with me that week were wanting to work on physical conditions. And I had never done that before. Like I say, I was more about the emotions and the mental stuff, but not really the physical body. And so the first person walked in and I said, how can I help? And they said, they've got psoriasis. And I was like, what's that? I had no idea.
Okay.
And I remember looking down at my blank pad, up at their expectant eyes, not knowing what to do, trying to impress as I was attending my first retreat, you know. Mm-hmm. And then I remembered a couple of weeks prior to that, I'd been to a talk with a guy who's now a good friend of mine, Dr. David Hamilton. He's an expert in the mind-body connection. Mm-hmm. And this is before his first book came out. He's now had several out. And he was talking about the mind-body connection. So 2 weeks later in Spain, in front of my client, who's wanting to work on a health, you know, issue, I turned to them and said, the mind and body are connected. Shall we see if there might be a mind-based cause to this condition? At which point the client got excited and agreed. And again, I remember looking down at my blank page, up to meet their expectant eyes, mm-hmm. and a few questions came out of my mouth. And we found an event in the lady's past, which was unresolved. We could see the connection between what happened in her past and what her body was doing today. And we spent the rest of the session helping her get peace with the past, resolving the issue, and she left. Next person walked in. I said, how can I help? Hoping for something more simple. And the person said they had IBS. And I was like, what's IBS? And they're like, oh, well, and they told me. And so I said, the mind and body are connected. Shall we see if there might be a mind-based cause to this? And because it had worked the first time, I did the same thing again. Well, during that retreat, I did the same thing over and over and over again. And then before I knew it, I was being invited to be part of a number of television series of mm-hmm. me doing this thing that was now becoming known as mind detox, mainly because I was the mind guy on a detox retreat. So mind detox was born. And so that's why I kind of say it was accidental. I never at any point sat down planning to create a method, especially one that was going to get used all around the world, but that's mm-hmm. what's happened, and we find ourselves here today, 15 years later, with a new book out about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I always find it fascinating to see people go through their life and, you know, living their life and discovering things that can not only help themselves, but help others, and it seems like you've done that quite brilliantly. Now, your body of work is based on getting to the root cause of an issue. And you mentioned like the woman with the psoriasis, you helped her go into the past. So when mm-hmm. she went into the past and explored her past, did she find the root cause that actually allowed the psoriasis to come and visit her?
We found the reason why her body needed to create an extra thick layer of defense. Mm-hmm. An extra thick layer of skin in the form of psoriasis, and for her, the psoriasis cleared up. It's incredible how the body is often speaking the mind, and when we actually tune in and ask, you know, powerful questions, not just like, why is this happening to me, but why is this happening to me, you know? Mm-hmm. Why is it really happening? What's my body trying to tell me? How does my physical condition reflect what's happening in my mind, in my emotions, in my life? You know, when we start to explore the potential for having a mind-based cause, then I find, and I'm sure you must have seen this too, that we end up more empowered. We end up more
yes.
empowered because if we believe that the body just breaks or goes faulty or it's because of age or wear and tear or bad luck, then we're kind of a victim to whatever the diagnosis we're given and the drugs that we have to take. And I'm not, you know, I'm very much encourage integrative medicine, which includes modern medicine. But I really encourage people to also see if there might be a potential mind-based, unresolved event or unresolved emotion or something in their life that when they resolve that, the body is able to come back to balance and find healing again.
Okay. So how do we bypass those, what you call in your book, surface symptoms to delve deeper to truly get to what is the root cause? So many of us are afraid to look so deep internally.
I totally get that. You know, it can be a daunting prospect, a scary thought to open up the can of worms that we call our past, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But what I would say is, you know, in the book, you'll see in chapter 5, I think it is, I talk about the safe place. And the reason I talk about the safe place is because, yes, mind detox does require you to acknowledge and, you know, remember some things that in the past that might be unresolved. However, I invite people and show people how to do that from what I call the safe place, which is obviously the present moment. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you a quick story about something that happened to me when I was a child, which relates to this perfectly.
Okay.
When I was younger, I got up out of bed one night, I went to the television room, put the TV on, and everyone's asleep, but I'm just this little boy, cross-legged, looking up at this, you know, this TV, and Jaws, the movie, was on the wardrobe.
Mm.
And I was petrified now of Jaws, the shark, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't sleep. I had panic attacks. I had night sweats. I had anxiety. I was convinced that Jaws was hiding in my wardrobe, my cupboard, you know, my closet.
Mm-hmm.
And if I fell asleep, Jaws was going to eat me. And my dad finally sat me down and said, "Son, Jaws is not in your wardrobe. Jaws is in your imagination."
Mm-hmm.
And it was such a simple thing for him to say, but it really was profound because later on in life, I realized, you know, my problems, my interpersonal Jaws stories, they're largely happening in my mind and imagination, especially when we talk about things from the past. You see, we have reality, which is right here, right now.
Mm-hmm.
And if we want to turn up in our real life, we show up where life is happening right now. Our imagined life is everything else beyond what's happening this moment. So earlier today is the imagined life. What might happen later is the imagined life. Our real life is right here, right now. And so when people are engaging this work, I show them and invite them to do it from the present moment. Because if you can do that, it's a lot less personal, a lot less emotionally, you know, daunting or, you know, intense. And you can actually recall it like you would a story that you've read or a movie that you've watched or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can recognize you've got to stay in the room where you are. You know, when I'm doing my work with my clients, in my room there's a comfortable chair, there's plants, there's a nice view out of the window, there's a glass of water. It's a nice place. There's pictures on the wall and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so I tell people, you know, stay in the room. Don't leave the room to then go into your past and be traumatized again by it. We're going to talk about it with your attention here. And if you can do that, then you're going to find it a much more comfortable thing to do and less scary thing to do. So I don't know if that helps with the answer to your question.
It definitely does. But what do you do with the person where you're going through this process and everything is, "I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know"? Is it because they really don't want to know?
Good question. So when we get into the method, the first question of the method is, what event in your life is the cause of the problem? The first event, when resolved, will cause that problem to disappear. If you were to know, what age were you? And so the question is coming from, what if someone says they don't know the age?
Mm-hmm.
Well, my response is always, you do know the age, you're just not trusting your first answer. People will often second guess, and they will kind of, a number will come, but they'll immediately go, "Well, I can't think of a memory, I don't know what happened then." So they'll just disregard it. And I'll say, no, trust your first answer. And so if you get a number, let's say 10 years old, then the next step of the method helps you to recall the memory through using the law of association. So you'll say, okay, when you think of age 10, for example, what's the first person, place, event, or thing to come to mind now? And you might get a person or a place or an event. And if you get the, if you get enough, like a person plus the age and the location, normally, like honestly, I've done so many hundreds of these sessions, and I'd say 99.9% of the time, if they get that information, it's enough for the mind to have to be able to give the memory that they need to work on.
Okay, so are you basically saying then that if they need to go back to a certain event and they're really not sure, and say the number three pops in, just trust that number three. It's kind of like using your imagination and just trusting that whatever came is valid for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you're very experienced with this, Monique. You know to trust your first answer. That's like that's your intuition and you know, your ability. The thing we're talking about here is something that most people aren't aware of, which is we have a perfect memory. We just don't necessarily have a perfect recall of that memory, but we have a perfect memory that everything that's happened has been stored. And when we ask the right questions, the mind can give us the memories that we need. You know, you might have a time where you're walking along the street and you walk past a bakery and you suddenly have the smell of the bakery, and it completely reminds you of when you were a child, and, you know, you remember the exact where you were and the exact clothes you were wearing and the exact, you know, moment in your life that you've forgotten about for decades. But with the right trigger, with the right association, the memory can return. And so that's the power of the method. The first two steps helps to use and harness the law of association and helps you to come up with the right answer for you.
Okay. Well, folks, we're speaking with Sandy Neubinging. His latest book is Mind Detox, Discover and Resolve the Root Causes of Chronic Conditions and Persistent Problems. And you can check him out at his website, and that is sandyneubigging.com, sandyneubigging.com. Now, Sandy, in your book, you talk a lot about two certain things, beliefs on one hand and emotions on the other. So let's start with the emotions. How do our emotions truly affect our health?
Well, it essentially, our body is feeling and experiencing every emotion that we have. When we have an emotion, that is literally a number of things happen. But one of the things that happens is these emotions are released into the bloodstream. They're literally chemical messengers, molecules of emotion, they've been called over the years. And so there's very few places in your body where you can cut yourself and you wouldn't bleed, you know, like it's... The blood is everywhere, and the chemical messengers of your emotions are found in your bloodstream. And so if you are happy, your big toe is happy. If you are sad, then your heart is sad. You know, if you are under pressure, then there's parts of your body that will be experiencing that. Now, the body, the inner body, is very clever. It's evolved over the years and years to be able to adapt to the environment for which it's living. So in the same way, if you go outside and it starts raining, you might put a rain jacket on. Mm-hmm. So you've adapted to the climate, the conditions. Mm-hmm. The same thing happens inside your body. The body is adapting to the chemical climate inside your body, the mental conditions, the emotional conditions. And literally at the cellular level, the more that you flood the body with the same emotions, the more the cells change, and it gains more receptor sites in order to receive the emotion that it's flooding with. Literally, at the cellular level, the cells change depending on the most common emotions that you're flooding the body with on a repeated basis. And so I'm digressing into some science there, but in essence, due to the mind-body connection, which is scientifically proven, what we're feeling, our body is experiencing everywhere. But not only that, it's also adapting to survive the climate. So I'll give you an example. I've worked with many people with skin conditions, for example. Mm-hmm. And let's say they have a condition like psoriasis. So mm-hmm. that's excessive skin cells growing. The science has shown that we grow a new skin every month to 6 weeks.
Okay.
So the literally, we're, our skin is shedding all the time, and we're growing a new skin every four to six weeks or so.
Okay.
What that means is that you nobody could really have a skin condition that lasts more than 4 to 6 weeks unless the new cells are being told by the old cells how they need to be in this environment. Does that make sense?
It makes sense.
So it's a bit like the cellular memories are being passed on to the generations of cells, in this example, the skin cells. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm saying is the body is adapting to survive. The body is always trying to help you to live and survive. And even if, although it doesn't look and feel like that way sometimes, it mm-hmm. always is. And so when you start looking into the mind-body connection and the way that the body isn't against you, it's constantly adapting to survive, and it's constantly adapting to survive its perceived environment, you need to start looking at your life and going, how am I perceiving my life? What is my relationship with life like? Do I have a healthy, harmonious, empowered, positive, and peaceful relationship with life? Or do I have an anxious, fearing, resistant kind of relationship with life, which is creating unnecessary, undue, and excessive stress for the body? Is it causing me to live in a state of fight, flight, freeze, and have my stress response activate all the time? Or do I need to actually maybe make some changes to my belief system and my relationship with life so that I can actually have a more harmonious relationship with life? Because our emotions are a result of our beliefs. We are feeling what we're feeling because we believe it is justified to feel that way. And so if we are repeatedly creating these downward spiraling, harmful, negative emotions that end up toxic over time, then we are really wanting to clean up our belief system so that we can have a more positive relationship with life, and therefore the body doesn't need to adapt from that negative environment. It can actually start to see it's living in a more positive and peaceful world.
Okay. So what if you're dealing with something, and you kind of touched on this earlier, but what if you're dealing with something as a child that, say, you had somebody in your life that said you're just worthless, you'll never amount to anything, giving you that negative information. And, of course, you're mm-hmm. a kid, so you believe it because the adult is telling you. How do you get to the point where you actually realize that that person could have been in error, or that is truly not who your soul is, who you are?
Well, your soul, that's a beautiful way of putting it. Your soul is here to soar, transcend anything that might be limiting you or hurting you or bringing you down or restricting you in your life. Our emotions are a very good indicator as to what's happening in our belief system, and also our life circumstances are also a very good indicator to recognize what sort of beliefs we have running. And so in answer to your question, how does someone realize they have these beliefs running? Mm-hmm. Well, they need to look at their life, they need to look at their emotions, and they need to look at their body. And if there's anything bad happening within either of these things, then it is definitely a sign towards them maybe needing to have a bit of a mind detox to cleanse anything from the past. Let me give you an example of what happened to me in the context of this question. When I was growing up, my mom, with her desire to help me, I guess, she would always say, "Sandy, eat whatever you want." If we're out at a meal or something, having in a restaurant or whatever, she'd say, mm-hmm. "Eat whatever you want, but when you turn 30, you'll get fat, so you'll have to start." Yeah. So every time we went out for a meal, she'd say, "Eat what you want, but mm-hmm. be careful when you turn 30 because you gain weight." Mm-hmm. So I just eat what I want all my life, and I hit 30, and then before I know it, one day I realized I've gained weight. What's happened here? Nothing's changed. And I realized I must have had a time-release belief because I remember my mom had always said to me, "Son, when you turn 30, you'll gain weight." And so that belief over time had been programmed into me, and then it activated when I turned a certain age. And so when I, to heal that belief, it wasn't really brought on by a significant emotional event. It was more through repetition, okay? And so to heal that belief, I started to look at my environment, and I started to actively search my environment over a period of a couple of weeks for people that were over 30, who had freedom with food, and were naturally slim. And I started to just look for them. I didn't have to do anything once I saw them. I just wanted to see them. I just wanted to find them in my world, because I was wanting to give my mind evidence to prove a new belief correct. Okay? Mm-hmm. And so that's a very simple technique that anybody listening to this can do if they want to change your belief, and it's come through like repetition, like you said in your question, you know, if someone's constantly being told that they were terrible or they would amount to nothing, then look at other people who have amounted to something, you know, and be willing to find these people and research them and look into their story and see that you've got things in common with them and give your mind evidence of a new reality that's possible for you. So that's one way of changing the beliefs. I obviously share another one in Mind Detox, because the method is for that. More if it's a significant emotional event that's caused a belief. Mm-hmm. But I'm just giving an example here. I don't know. Hope that was useful anyway.
No, it was very, very, very useful. I mean, in the book, you talk about emotions that affect our health. You know, even the emotion of being grateful. I mean, to me, that's a positive impact on ourselves and our body.
Yeah.
And the anger could be quite negative. And even jealousy could be kind of negative because what's there to be jealous of? What I find, though, is there are a lot of women in particular who have trouble with the in love emotion, because they equate love with sex.
Mm-hmm.
How can a woman who is confused about love and sex, how can she separate the two so that she can honor herself and love herself and even love others, but don't put that physical act as, well, this is what love means. You know, you have to have this in order for love to exist.
Well, that's a very big question, and it's a beautiful question, and it's an important question. I think ultimately it's important for a male or a female at some point in their life to start to and ask the very big question of, who am I really? Mm-hmm. Who am I really? Am I this voice in my head that's constantly talking away, that's changing its opinion all the time, which is judging things or memories, or, you know, am I my emotions that come and go and are temporary? Am I my body that's changed over the years? Am I my relationships? Am I my job and my career title? Am I my family status? Mm-hmm. Am I my religious beliefs or political beliefs or whatever? And the more you start to ask these questions of, who am I really, you start to discover what the great spirit teachers have always said is, who you are is not temporary. Who you are is not a temporary thought, it's not a temporary emotion, it's not a temporary body, it's not a temporary sexual experience, it's not a temporary job title. Who you are is this inner presence of peace-filled love. Who you really are is that. That's what many, many spirit teachers have always said. You are the peace that you seek outside yourself. You are the love that you seek outside yourself. You are what you seek. You are that. And so it might be a big answer to your question, but my honest answer is, if you really want to improve relationship with love, you need to simultaneously want to improve relationship with who you really are, because love and who you are is one and the same. And when you discover that the presence of your being is love, you stop having to look outside yourself for love through behaviors and actions like sex or whatever. I just wish everyone listening to this could know that they are love, because I talk about it a lot in the book, in the chapter called The Love Lesson. I talk about how, you know, how different would your life be if you had discovered the inner presence of love. Because the minute you find the inner presence of love, you stop having to look for love outside yourself, and your relationships improve because they're less pressured. You know, we're not trying to take love from that person through sex or them finding us super, you know, the most attractive person in the world or anything like that. You know, we start recognizing that I am love, and I'm here to share that love and give that love with other people. And that's when love becomes more liberated, should I say.
Okay. Okay, and liberating is a good thing. In the book, you talk about the secret source of stress. And I know, you know, over the years I've gone to the doctor and he goes, oh, well, you're stressed out. And I'm like, you know, yeah, no shit. and then other times I'm like, you know, well, not really. Things are going pretty decent. So what is the secret source of stress and how can we identify that so that we can help ourselves? Because if we don't realize it, we can't fix it.
Yeah, great questions. You've done this before. the secret source of stress. The listeners have to be open-minded at this point, because you know we often think we're stressed because of what's happening in our life. You know, we're stressed because of our money. We're stressed because of our health. We're stressed because of what our partner's doing or saying or not saying and not doing or whatever. You know, mm-hmm. Thankfully, that's not true, because then we'd be victims to circumstance, and we don't want to be that way. We want to be, you know, free to experience peace and love and contentment anytime, anywhere, irrespective of what's going on in our circumstances. Mm-hmm. So in order to recognize and do that, one has to see that actually I'm stressed because of something I'm doing inside me on my side of the fence. So it's not that person or that situation. It's I'm stressed because of something that's happening inside me on my side of the fence. So what might that be? If it's happening inside me, well, what's going on inside me? Well, two things. Number one, if you're stressed, you're usually judging something as bad, wrong, worse, or negative. And if we judge something as bad, wrong, worse, or negative, we quickly end up with what's commonly called a problem. You know? So we've judged something as a problem. And the second thing that we're doing inside us, on our side of the fence, is we're then resisting the problem. We're pushing it away. We don't want it. It's bad. It's wrong. It's worse. It's negative. And we're literally pushing and having a fight with life at that moment in time. Mm-hmm. We're fighting our reality, and that doesn't help us. That just hurts us. It tires us out. It stresses us out. It creates a whole host of negative emotions I'm sure your listeners would rather not have to deal with. And if you can start to see the judgments and not be the judgments, if you can start to see your reactive resistances and then take a breath, relax into yourself and recognize that resisting reality does not change reality. What you resist persists. So as long as I keep fighting life, as long as I keep in conflict with life, the problems tend to continue. And so the mind detox method and the meditation techniques that I teach in my different other books and things, they're all about helping you to create a holistic harmony, inner harmony within your mind, body, soul, and life circumstances. Because I've found that if you can focus on creating that inner harmony, naturally you experience more peace and love and joy and less anger, resentment, stress, anxiety, fear, and all the rest of it.
All those negatives. Well, folks, he has a wonderful section in his book titled Resist, Persist. So go get the book, read that. If nothing else in the book resonates with you, I'm pretty sure that will, and it will allow you to see how you can, you know, shift your energy. Now, Sandy, you say that compassion sets you free. What do you mean by that?
Oh, I do love talking to someone who's actually read my book, and I love that part of your book jumped out at you. I love that part of the book jumped out at you. You know, compassion sets us free because, essentially, the world needs less conflict and more compassion right now. You know, And what is compassion? Well, people think compassion is to suffer with another. That's what the dictionary says. But that's not what the great spiritual teachers have always been referring to when they talk about compassion. They've been talking about a compassion that is made up of two components, love and wisdom. Love and wisdom. And so what does that mean? It means that if you see someone who is having a bad day, is angry or or, you know, argumentative or sad or whatever, then the wisdom comes from recognizing that they are experiencing this right now because they've temporarily lost connection with source, they've lost connection with God, they've lost connection with who they really are, mm-hmm. and they've lost connection with the peace that passes understanding and unconditional love. They, you know, I've had a chance to ask thousands upon thousands of people one question. If you had a magic wand and you could have one thing, what would you wish for with this magic wand? And I've only had positive answers, like peace and love and joy, contentment, freedom, and things like that. So that tells me that humanity, at the heart of hearts, if given a choice, would choose to experience peace, would choose to experience love and connection. And if they're not experiencing that at that moment in time, if they're behaving in destructive ways that aren't moving them towards peace and love, for example, then it's because they don't know how to. So for me to get angry and resentful at someone else not knowing how to experience peace, that doesn't make any sense. You know, why would I point my finger and go, I'm angry at you for not knowing how to experience peace now? They'd be like, that doesn't make any sense.
Right.
So when you recognize that in the heart of everyone is this innocent desire for peace, love, and connection, when you really see that, you start to see beyond the surface level BS, as you put it, and I mean multiple reason, you know, the multiple definitions mm-hmm. of BS.
Okay.
And
yeah.
we start
yeah.
We start to see the innocent desire for someone that just wants to know peace and happiness, but they don't know how. And when mm-hmm. you start to see that, even the people that are being, you know, idiots in your life mm-hmm. right now, then you start to naturally stop resisting them. You start to see them with more compassion, and you start to go, start to let them be as they are, and you become the lighthouse. You know, the way I usually talk about it is: imagine that your friend is in a hole and they're having a hard day. Most people want to jump down the hole with their friend to feel bad with them, but that doesn't actually help the friend get out of the hole if you jump in the hole with them. Now there's two people in a hole feeling bad. So you need to stay out the hole and show them it's possible for them to get out of the hole. So you need to stay in your peace, in your love, in your connection. And in doing that, that's actually the greatest way to serve someone else, because they see in your eyes that peace is possible for them too. And that is a beautiful thing to do. You know, we need to be the lighthouses that guide people back to the light and the love of their own hearts.
Yes, we do. And the quicker the better, not just for ourselves, but for humanity in general. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Sandy, when we go to the website, sandynewbigging.com, what are we going to find there?
Well, you're going to find my Calm Plan, mm-hmm. which is my online membership site where people come together with me every week to meditate, and I do monthly master classes, and it's basically my community. If anything resonates with you that I share, a lot of people want to sign up to the Calm Clan and hang out with me and go on a journey with me, because ultimately what people are doing with me is they are changing the habit of a lifetime, because they're learning how to think less, they're learning how to find inner, who they really are, discover their real self, and find the peace that comes with that. And so it's a big deal, and so I give the support people need over a period of time. And I also have an academy where people can actually train to share my techniques with other people. I've trained people from over 20-odd countries around the world in my mind detox method and my calm cure, my mind calm meditation and my body calm meditation. So check that out as well. It's really cool. And obviously, you can find the book as well.
Yeah, well, definitely get the book. And folks, if you're in Newbury, England, or Cambridge, England, in March, you can, no, actually, Newbury in March and Cambridge in July, you can see Sandy live and truly experience the total of what he has to offer. And I'm quite sure that you will gain benefit from it. Sandy, two things real quick that I didn't ask about, and I don't want you to give a for this particular one, I'm going to talk about the pink light technique. Just tell people what it is. Don't go into detail, because I want them to go get the book and experience it for themselves. But how can the pink light technique assist them?
Oh, wow, thank you. The pink light technique is an amazingly powerful technique that heals relationships. It's been proven successful in so many cases with people that have been having abuse or difficult relationships or children that have run away from home, and just people that want to improve the relationship with their partner or their mother or their friend. So it's a very simple exercise. You can see the instructions in the book. And essentially, it heals the part of you that is then. Now, if that sounds a bit out there, then the more you play with it, the more you discover a oneness and a loving connection that we can have with everyone. And so Pink Light Clinic is a wonderful thing. And actually, you can find a free recording of me guiding you through it on my website in the free section. If you go into my website and go to free, you go into this meditation section, they'll find a pink light meditation there if they want to try it out.
Okay, so folks, there you go. Something absolutely free that is going to work for you. Oh. But I do want you to get the book because there's so much more than the pink light technique. And also the GAAWO, gently alert with your attention wide open. What is that?
Oh, well, that's one of the reasons why my other books have become bestsellers, because it is an amazingly powerful yet very simple way to immediately quieten your mind, engage what I call present moment awareness, and discover the inner presence of peace that you are. And so it's people love what we call GAWO, like you say, gently alert, attention wide open. I'm looking at the time. I'm not sure if I have time to teach it today, but like I say,
if not, that's fine too.
I honestly would rather people watch it on the video that I've got on my website than try to do it on the radio. But read the book, obviously. But I want to make sure you get the fullest experience. But it's an awesome experience. It's just a simple exercise that helps you to quieten your mind and come back to present moment awareness.
Okay. And, you know, you've given so much today, and you've written 12 books, and, you know, The Mind Detox is on its way, I'm quite sure, to being a bestseller. What pearls of wisdom would you have for the audience today before we go?
I want everybody to know that peace is possible. And not only is peace possible, but it's the solution to countless problems. You know, we know in our own lives that getting anxious, getting stressed, getting frustrated or whatever does not help us improve our lives. It does not. It just doesn't work. So we need to find a way to be at peace with what's happening in our life, peace with our own mind, peace with our emotions, peace with our body, peace with our life circumstances. And so I want you guys to know that peace is possible, and it's a solution to so many things that you might be dealing with right now. And I was talking to someone a few minutes ago before I came on this interview, and they said, you know, one of your biggest problems, Sandy, is that, you know, before I met you, I didn't even know what peace was until I met you, you know, and that blew me away, that phrase, you know. Mm-hmm. You said, one of your challenges is that you say this word peace, but they don't know what it is, and it's not until you actually experience it you discover how delightful and amazing it actually is. And so I want you to know peace is possible. You can quieten your mind. You can find love in your own heart. And essentially, you know, your life is the context of your awakening. You're here to wake up and live your purpose. You've got an amazing purpose. You're born for a purpose, but you have to get back to the present moment in order to discover your purpose. And so I invite you to maybe reach out and connect with me in the Calm Clan and discover that purpose, discover that peace, and see how it wakes up your life to a wonderful life.
Okay, very well said. Thank you so much. So, Sandy, I want to thank you for being with me today in the audience. I also want to thank you. The divine in me honors the divine in you. And I am truly honored, and I appreciate everyone's time and attention. So when you guys are ready to live a more balanced life and you're interested in an intuitive consultation, give me a call, because intuitive consultations, 30 minutes or longer, are offered at a 10% discount if you mention the podcast. Love yourself enough to make an investment in yourself. And make that call, 888-240-6057. And remember, the most important choice that you can make is what you choose to make important. Consider making the masterful choice of a mind detox. Abundant blessings, love, and light to all. Namaste.